For the last 3 years, an advisory panel based at UNC Charlotte has helped guide Duke Energy as it figures out what to do with coal ash. And during that time, Duke has also contracted with the university to do scientific research on specific coal ash sites. Providing research and advice of this nature requires a degree of collaboration, but can that relationship become too cozy? WFAE's Mark Rumsey takes a look at the challenges and questions that can arise when companies turn to universities for hired expertise.
To begin, take a moment to imagine a dance floor. Standing on one side is corporate America with its business interests, regulatory challenges, and in many cases, deep financial pockets. On the other side of the floor stands academia with its public mission to inform, commitment to research, and its thirst for funding to further that mission. The appeal to tango is obvious.
Industry-academy collaborations are inevitable. There's no turning the clock back.
That's Kerry Nelson, former president of the American Association of University Professors. He co-authored the organization's handbook of 56 principles designed to help guide a wide range of relationships between universities and industry.
So the question is how to manage them, how to make certain that they are honorable, and maintaining the genuine independence of the research and of all kinds of review processes is essential.
To help ensure that, Nelson says it's important that contracts between universities and industry research sponsors be made public. Recently, contracts involving UNC Charlotte's work with Duke Energy on how to deal with coal ash ponds became public through reporting by WBTV in Charlotte. Documents show that a Duke Energy contractor paid UNC Charlotte nearly $1.1 million for coal ash research over a 3.5-year period beginning in February of 2013. In late 2015, UNCC engineering professor William Langley produced a report on how different options for closing a South Carolina coal ash site would affect nearby groundwater. Langley submitted a draft of his findings to a Duke Energy engineer for review. Emails show that ultimately the Duke employee responded with a set of, quote, highly suggested edits for Langley's report. You're laughing. Again, former AAUP president Kerry Nelson.
Well, highly suggested seems to send a message, right? It's not as if they said, you know, here are some possible edits. Of course, if you disagree with them, you may not want to adopt them.
AAUP guidelines say that contracts should make clear that pressure from a research funder is prohibited. Duke and UNCC say Langley and the company discussed possible changes during a process that both parties call collaboration. They say the interaction and the edits added context, not pressure, and didn't alter Langley's conclusions. His final report contained all of Duke Energy's highly suggested edits. Some are minor, but other changes seem to give the company more leeway. For example, Langley originally referred to a preferred option for closing a coal ash basin. Under the Duke edit, the wording was tweaked to say preliminary option. The company's editing also added significant chunks of material to the report's summary sections. I asked Langley about the edits during an interview at WFAE's studios.
You agreed to all of the changes in wording that came via this highly suggested edit process.
Absolutely, right? Because I actually crafted a lot of those changes myself. And nearly every working day for that entire month, I was talking with them and we were discussing those very things. And ultimately, yes, that is my report.
There's a fundamental flaw in the way some people view the notion of independence, says Duke Energy spokesperson Paige Sheehan.
A lot of people seem to believe that independent means isolated, and that's simply not the case in science. It's important for scientists to collaborate and engage with one another as they refine and develop expert opinion, but it is still independent.
Responding to questions about the independence of its researchers, UNC Charlotte says the work of its faculty members follows university, government, and professional society guidelines. That would include the work of Dr. John Daniels, Professor Langley's colleague, who heads the university's Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Daniels also chairs the Ash Management Advisory Board, chartered and funded by Duke Energy as part of the legal settlement stemming from the Dan River spill. Daniels says he took the assignment to help UNC Charlotte fulfill its mission of offering expertise to the community on challenging issues.
I don't make anything from my work for the National Ash Management Advisory Board. If I were to quit that board tomorrow, my salary wouldn't change.
Duke Energy has touted the board's independence, but under the terms of the board's charter, a Duke Energy senior vice president has authority to remove board members, quote, with or without cause. The company VP also appoints the board's chairperson, and that person is to consult with the Duke official on all appointments and dismissals of board members. Given such provisions, claims of the board's independence don't fly with Kerry Nelson, the former Association of University Professors president.
Is that a structure to set up an independent review board? And the answer is no. Those are embarrassing provisions to be built into a supposedly independent review board.
Universities and industry have a long history of working together, says Tony Boconfuso. He heads the University Industry Demonstration Partnership, of which UNC Charlotte is a member.
It's not uncommon when a company invests resources at a university that they're actually working in collaboration with the university in terms of the specific research activity that is being undertaken. And so it's not a one-way street.
So what can be learned from the Duke Energy UNC Charlotte Coal Ash collaboration? If nothing else, it is this: the partnership between a cash-bearing research sponsor and the university personnel providing research findings or expert advice, like any dance, can be delicate. And as for what constitutes appropriate independence for university researchers, the answer, it seems, is most clear in the eyes of the beholder. For WFAE News, I'm Mark Rumsey in Charlotte.